a.m. How you doing? All right, let me tell you what we just played in that short set, and then I'm going to bring our friend Jennifer Bell up, who's called in from California, to talk with us and tell us all about, like I've been saying all morning, all this really exciting stuff that's going on with her. So excited about that. So let me tell you what we did in the first set. The first song, New Noise, was a request for Martin Bono. Thanks, Martin. From the Magpie Salute, brand new single called In Here from the forthcoming record. David Bowie after that by request for Tom Ruprecht. I wanted to hear some old David Bowie, so I had to oblige. Happy to do it. From the best of David Bowie, 69 to 74, All the Young Dudes. Robert Palmer after that from 1974's Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley. That was the track, the title track. And Chai Coltrane finished us up from a record called The Essential, Chai Coltrane, Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Thunder and Lightning. All right, it's 10 a.m. here at WMFO, and I'm so happy to introduce everybody to my friend and a friend of the radio station here, Jennifer Bell, who's on the phone. Hi, Jennifer. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It certainly is morning, isn't it? I mentioned California. And I know as we talked over the last couple of days, I kept apologizing. But I know you're fine with it. But thank you so much for calling up.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little early here, but I have my coffee and we are good to go. And I so appreciate your support, Mike. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. So about the coffee, is it flavored or you're black or what's your coffee like?
I have a little bit of cream in there. It's a little bit of hazelnut cream.
Oh, yes.
It's so good.
Hazelnut is it. I've discovered that, and that's all I do now. I don't care if it's foo-foo. It's the best.
Yes, it is.
So, Jennifer, there's so much exciting stuff going on with you. You're a singer-songwriter, and you grew up out in California, and you've been thinking about doing this, that is, performing since you were a little girl. And I know that you hung out with your grandparents a lot as a girl. Tell me about the music that they played and how that inspired you to sort of say, I really want to be a performer, a singer.
Yeah, so I was with my grandparents a lot. You know, my parents worked full-time jobs and they would pick me up, drop me off to school. And, you know, I was over their house a lot and I would be singing a lot. And my grandmother would overhear and she says, oh, you know, you have a really nice voice. And she put on the Patsy Cline record and she says, listen to this. Do you like this? And I just loved it. I fell in love with it. The first time I heard, the very first song on there was Walking After Midnight, and took to it immediately and went upstairs and went into her scarf drawer and dressed up like I was Patsy Cline and came down there stairs singing Walking After Midnight. And that song became the next song and the next song. So basically, the record from top to bottom, I memorized everything and performed it for them. They were my little audience of three.
And this continued.
My grandma and grandpa.
This continued with you guys, right? Like after dinner, you would like put on a show.
I loved to put on a show. I loved to be creative. I grabbed the little things in the room to make a scene or a set. And I wished at that point, though, I had backup dancers and backup singers, but that's okay. That came later.
Well, I'm sure they were there in your mind. Certainly at 6 years old, for me, the wild imagination was there. But that's pretty good. I mean, it's wonderful that your grandparents were such music people, and they were able to sort of pass that on to you.
Yes, and they loved country music, especially my grandmother. She loved Johnny Rodriguez, Patsy Cline, Waylon Jennings, George Jones. You know, so I grew up listening to all of that and was pretty big in the musical theater as well. She would play the Annie record for me. I remember singing Hard Rock Life in the living room, too. But I really wanted to be a country singer. And I, you know, at a very young age, I thought, well, I'm just going to go for it. You never know, you know. And here we are.
So what did that look like? I mean, that we were just talking about when you were 6 years old. What was the next major event that happened when you started to sing in front of an audience other than your wonderful grandparents?
Well, you know, it wasn't just singing that I was involved in. I was, you know, I was actually really scared to sing in front of people other than my grandparents because I got used to performing in front of them. They were very encouraging. They gave constructive criticism as well. But I really wanted to venture into dancing and acting. I wanted to do it all. And so I started dancing at the age of 3. My mom actually got me involved in like a gymnastics / dance class at the age of 3. But then I really started dancing at about like maybe 6-7 years old,
mm-hmm.
With the Duane dancers. Coraline Duane was the head director. And I was educated in ballet, jazz, and tap, and stuck with that actually all the way through into my adult years, and was a Duane dancer for a little bit. We performed, it was a tap troupe, and we performed in the San Francisco area a lot, especially at Christmas time and or the holidays, you know.
Yeah.
And, so I did that, and then that led me into the musical theater. So then I started getting into acting. So then that lasted a little bit. I did the cruise ships with Royal Caribbean and did Beach Blanket Babylon in the city, and then ventured into New York after that. So I have a very big, extensive background in musical theater, but I really, really just wanted to be a country singer, and that always had stuck with me.
Now, it's amazing because Patsy Cline, I mean, what a unbelievable influence for you, and your grandfather and your grandmother to be able to tell you about her and for you to take to it right away, that's such a big deal. And I know that we talked about another major influence for you and for me as well, Shania Twain.
Yes.
Now that came a few years later, obviously.
Yes, in my teenage years. I remember listening to her a lot in high school, and went to one of her concerts, I believe it was 98. And the song that they played that really grabbed me, and the way that they performed it was just amazing, was Don't Be Stupid. And the way she had incorporated all of her band, it wasn't just her singing out in the front with the band behind her. She included the band and incorporated them and with like choreography, and it was just amazing feeling watching that.
I can see how these things have really shaped you in the way that you want to be a perform and make sure that you give that same kind of performance.
Yes, for sure. You know, Patsy Cline, growing up singing her and listening to her and listening to her story, you know, really taught me, she taught me to really feel the music and to sing with a lot of emotion to get that story line across in music. To get the message that you want to send to your audience across and do it with the emotion. And Shania taught me it's okay to be yourself and to be different and just go with it and, you know, perseverance as well. That was another thing she taught me. So I've taken a little of this and that from my influences and idols and such, and kind of shaped me into who I am now. But the very first time that I remember singing in front of a crowd, mm-hmm. a big crowd, was in Castro Valley. You know, I grew up in Castro Valley, and we had a Castro Valley Fall Festival, and they invited me to come out and sing, and I didn't have a band behind me. It was just, you know, karaoke tracks, and I only performed for a half an hour, but a pretty large crowd gathered in front of me, and it was a little intimidating at first, but I thought, wow, they really like it. And it ended up being a great show. Of course, my grandparents were there.
Sure.
But yeah, the feeling of that first show was amazing.
And you know, you need that validation. Yes.
Yeah.
You need that validation from the audience, and I'm happy to hear, but not surprised, that your grandparents were there.
Oh, they were there pretty much every show and every dance competition, every musical theater show, every singing show. They were there, unless they couldn't because they were ill or something. But
sure,
they were, and both sets of grandparents were very supportive.
Well, it means everything. I'm sure it means everything to you, for sure. So I know that there's an awful lot of stuff, exciting stuff that's been happening to you. So, but first I'd like to sort of play those influences that you were talking about from Patsy Cline.
Oh, sure.
Starting with that. Cause,
I would love that.
Yeah, because Walking After Midnight, it's just such a, I guess, iconic song. I mean, there's no one that doesn't know it. And probably haven't heard it in a little while. But let's start with that one, and we'll follow up with Shania and come back and talk with you a little bit more about what's happening to you now. It's so exciting.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Mike.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. I can't wait to maybe meet you in the future.
That would be awesome. All right, so let's start with Patsy Cline, the first of Jen's influences here at WMFO Medford.
complicated. Yeah, hang over my shoulder when I read my mail. I don't appreciate it. When I talk to other guys, you think they're on my tail. I get so aggravated when I get off the phone and get the third degree. I'm really feeling frustrated. Why don't you take a pill and put a little trust in me, and you'll see. Don't freak out until you know the facts. Relax. Don't be stupid.
WMFO Medford, Mike on the mic here, 10:16 in the morning with my special guest, Jennifer. And Jen, you're still on the phone. I hope you're still there.
I'm still with you, Mike.
That was wonderful to play those two influences of yours. First was the great Patsy Cline. I got it from a collection called The Best Of, Patsy Cline, Walking After Midnight. And Shania Twain from the Come On Over EP, of course. Don't Be Stupid, with all those wonderful fiddles in there.
Yes. Yeah, wasn't that amazing?
It was amazing. And I can, you know, I can see from knowing the music that I've got from you that your influences really do reflect what you try to project. It's really pretty cool. I love playing influences and then sort of hearing, you know, it in the artist that I'm talking to. And that's definitely coming through here.
Right on.
So let's fast forward to what's going on with you now. I almost don't know where to start because there's so much incredible stuff. You've got a new record out, and it's you've recorded an entire record, right?
Yes, an entire album. The album has 10 songs on it.
Yep.
And the whole album itself is not released in its entirety yet. There's only one song from that album called Moving Day that was released late April. And it was written by Sam Gyllenhaal, Sarah Shepard, and John Cirillo. And, you know, we worked with so many wonderful writers with this project. And this song really hit a nice chord with me. And so I heard it and I said, I want to sing that. And it was really fun recording it. And it's doing quite well. We're rocking and rolling in the chart.
Yeah.
And it's been quite an amazing journey so far.
Now, you've got a heck of a team behind you. I'm curious, how in the world did J. Gary Smith and his son, John, who are, you know, performers and entertainers in their own right, and they've worked with so many folks as a producer like Johnny Cash, how did you hook up with them?
Okay, so about a couple of years ago, I stepped up to the plate and started writing my own country songs. And I wrote a song called Road of Dreams and put it on YouTube, and it was doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting at Starbucks one night, and I was just thinking to myself, well, it's doing really good on YouTube. You never know. And I just took a chance and looked up top hit Nashville producers, and only a couple came up. And I sent them emails and a couple pictures of myself and the song link.
Mm-hmm.
To Road of Dreams, and then I got a response back from J. Gary. We had a phone conversation the next day, and we put something together, and that's how that happened. That's how we found each other.
Well, this might be a silly question, but did you know of him? I mean, did you realize his legacy?
No, not until after his response to me.
Okay.
I just, on an impulse, sent out those emails, and then after I sent the emails, I started doing some research, and then he got back to me and looked more into his history and was very impressed and very taken back, and I was very blessed to have made that connection.
Really? I mean, so tell the truth. When you discovered who it was that responded to you, did you freak out?
I did a little bit.
I would.
Started jumping up and down, actually.
I totally would. I mean, you've got such an incredible producer and his son to work with you. So
they are so wonderful.
Yeah.
Mike. But I have to tell you, not only are they wonderful to work with, but while working with them, the one thing that I noticed that stood out to me was two things, actually. They made me feel like family. They took me in right away, took me under their wing, guided me, but they were very encouraging and supportive, especially during the whole recording process. They made me feel comfortable, at ease. They're just really amazing people in general, and just outstanding, incredible musicians themselves. And I'm so very blessed to be working with them.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, it's nice to hear that those folks, being who they are treating you so well. I mean, it's nice to know. And first of all, I'm sure they get so many people reaching out to them, and they're only going to reach out after they click a link and they say, I'm interested in that. So congratulations on that. That's a big deal.
Thank you very much. Yeah, J. Gary mentioned that, you know, because when I sent the email, it was about 8:30 my time.
Yeah.
And it was pretty late in Nashville. And he says, you just caught me in a moment where I couldn't sleep. I was just up.
Wow.
And so I consider myself very lucky.
Absolutely. So when did you guys get together and actually start working on the project?
It was mid-September of last year.
Okay.
And I do have to give a shout out, though, because Bob Huffman, my executive producer with this project, he actually came to Thunder Valley Casino in Lincoln, California on a night that I was performing. And that's how, you know, that was the night he came up to me and said, you know, I know about this project that, you know, J. Gary Smith wants to do, and I want to be your executive producer. What do you think? We team up and let's do it. So,
did you know he was going to be there?
My mom gave me the heads up, but you know, sometimes people say that they're coming, and then you know, life happens and they don't show up. So, I heard that he may be coming, but it wasn't 100% for sure. And then when I saw him in the audience, I did get a little nervous because mm-hmm. I thought, oh boy, you better be on your game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But It was a wonderful show. We had a great audience. And he was just so impressed, and I'm very fortunate for that, too. So thank you, Bob, for believing in me as well.
It's like a movie that I'm listening to. It is. I mean, we've seen a million movies like this. You know, A Star is Born, where the singer is discovered by someone in the audience and all of that. You're living a dream.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal at times, but it is a lot of hard work, and I have a long road yet ahead of me. So, but yeah, it's been really amazing so far.
Well, I'm psyched to share your music with our audience, and you and Jay Gary were nice enough to release two more songs for us to play, other than Moving Day, which is just a wonderful track that we played here at WMFO, and only one of these two has ever been played on the radio before, so let's talk a bit about these two, and tell us a little bit about Let Him Be a Lesson.
Well, the main goal with all the songs that we chose for the album, I wanted to send out really strong positive messages to, you know, my audience, regardless of what they're going through in their life. I mean, it could be financial status or, you know, rough times in life in regards to that, or relationship status or stuff going on with your children or job stuff or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, life throws a lot of curveballs at us. And I really wanted to sing songs that connect with the audience, that make the audience, you know, feel better about themselves, that, you know, they can be their own true selves, not be afraid of it, stand alone in life and walk through and you'll be okay. You don't need anybody to complete you. However, it's really, really nice when you find that partner or, you know, but I wanted to make sure that the songs on the album, that was the goal for the songs, is to get the positive messages out to the audience. And we really did very well with these songs. Let Him Be a Lesson is a song like if you're talking to your best friend or your mom and you need to vent about something, you know, basically, you know, you can do this, girl. You've got this. I'm here for you, but I'm not going to judge you because I've been through stuff in my life as well, kind of thing.
Okay.
You know,
yep.
You know, X, the song kind of, the lyrics kind of tell the story in itself.
And it's X-E-X, like
E-X.
X. Mm-hmm. Now, is this,
and then,
were either of these written by you?
So, no. So,
neither is from your perspective.
What was that?
Neither is from your perspective. Like, it's not an ex of yours or...
No.
Okay.
No, it's... I wanted to find songs, like I said before, like, you know, take different scenarios that life may throw out at you and have it connect with the audience. And so... But Jay Gary, you know, he works with these writers and he listens to the songs and then he says, hey, Jen, listen to this. I think you may like this one. Or... you know, it was just really cool. We had a very good team behind us, and they really listened to me and what my goals, you know, what I wanted for this project and the album, and it was just really an amazing process and experience.
Well, that's pretty cool to hear about their total involvement, you know, working with the songwriters and all of that. That's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, the songwriters are just so supportive, and they feel like family as well. John stays. John Cirillo stays in touch with me, as well as Sarah Shepard and the writers of Moving Day, as well as Sam. And you know, they're like, you know, we're just so proud of you, and to hear our song and your performance of it was amazing. I mean, just to hear that feedback was really great, you know, and made me feel like I did my job well. And you know, music is very healing and therapeutic and very empowering. Not only for the artist, but the audience as well. And I'm just so happy that I'm part of all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, wow, so important. So let's share these two songs with our audience. Let Him Be a Lesson first, then X, and we'll come back and talk about Moving Day and play Moving Day. This is Jennifer Bell. First up, Let Him Be a Lesson at WMFO Medford.
You know I'm not one to judge. she'll come out stronger than you think.
WMFO Medford 1033 in the morning. Mike on the mic here with Jennifer Bell. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Mike. Hi, everybody.
Okay.
You know, as you were playing those other songs, I kept thinking to myself, and it all these memories, you know, last year and the beginning part of this year when we were doing the recording, thinking back to that song X. Not only was it so fun to record and sing, but it did actually strike a heavy chord with me.
Okay.
You know, we all, you know, that song wasn't, you know, about me per se, but it did strike a heavy chord, and I think that's why the emotion came out. We've all, at some point in life, have had ex-boyfriends or ex-husbands or ex-bosses, ex-friends, stuff like that. And I think that's why, you know, I mean, life has thrown me some curveballs as well, but I think that's why that chord struck heavy with me. But the main part of all of these songs, which I cannot wait for all of them to come out, and, you know, hopefully it'll touch the audience how it touched me singing them, but the main goal was just to connect with the audience and try and connect with their life experiences.
Yep, and thank you for mentioning that too, because it's important to realize that an ex isn't only in a romantic kind of a setting. It's, you know, best friends or anything like that that could be considered that. So yeah, absolutely. And I got to say too, the song is just so hooky. It's just so catchy. I mean, you know, it's just awesome. It's just awesome that they're just, you just remember them, and they're in my head now, and I'm sure the folks listening really loved it too. Nice job, really nice,
thank
catchy
you.
Songs, and to the songwriters as well for providing you with such great songs.
Yeah, and the musicians, and thank you, Mike, and for that wonderful, lovely compliment. I'm so glad that the songs struck a nice chord with you as well. I want to give a nice shout out to the musicians on the album.
Please,
Jay Gary, you know, put together the in-studio band, and they also made me feel like family. The very first time I walked into the studio, we recorded at a couple different studios,
mm-hmm.
and the first time I ever walked into the recording studio to sing with the band, they all came up and gave me a hug, and they said, you know, we're so excited to play for you, and we started, you know, singing the first song, and Michael Springs, the acoustic guitar player on the album, said, Jennifer, I just wanted to stop here and just say that sounds amazing, and we're very happy to be here and honored to be on your, you know, to play on your album. So, you know, Jay Gary said, oh, you're going to love these cats. They're the best, and they're very nice, and boy, he was right. And I just feel very fortunate. Eddie Bayers, is one of the drummers on the album. The other drummer Sean Feichter, he plays with Tim McGraw. So, you know, to be able to experience singing with these, you know, very well-known, very talented musicians in itself is just amazing.
And now,
I wanted to give a huge shout-out to them.
I'm glad that you did. And just my own curiosity, did this recording happen in California, or did you travel somewhere to do it? Or
so we would fly back and forth to Nashville, and all of the recording was done in Nashville.
Oh, man. So you got to record in Nashville, too. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And to record there, I mean, with all the history behind it,
yeah.
Oh, it was just amazing. I can't wait to go back.
Come on. Wow. All right, so once again, we just heard by Jennifer Bell the songs X, and just before that, Let Him Be a Lesson. And I don't think you mentioned yet when the rest of the record will be released.
There's no official date yet. I'm playing the patient game, and I tell you, Mike, this game is the hardest game I've ever played in my life. You know, my patience, if I'm really passionate about something or really excited about something, I just want to take the bull by the horns and just do everything all at once.
Well, how do you think I feel? Because I can't play X or Let Him Be a Lesson again until I get the go-ahead. This was a special deal.
I know. As soon as the green light happens, you best be sure I'm going to be on the phone and be like, Mike.
Okay.
Guess
all right.
But yeah, no official date yet. Moving Day is doing very well in the NMW charts right now. I had some updates happen last night.
Okay.
So there's a chart called the top. It's called the Indie World Chart, and it's the top independent country artists of the world chart. I just got a notification last night that I moved up to number 5.
Number 5. Wow, I mean, not only top 10, but number 5. That's what I'm saying about all this exciting stuff happening to you. And, I mean, you've got to grab this and release that the rest of these songs.
I know. I can't wait. All the rest of the songs have such wonderful messages, and the melodies are just outstanding.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to start performing them live, too.
Oh, man. So speaking of which, let's get everybody acquainted with the single, Moving Day. Talk a bit about that song and the meaning behind it, if you would.
So Moving Day, I wanted to really send a message to the audience that no matter what happens in life, especially those down moments, you can, move forward in life on your own, follow your heart. Your instincts are always, most of the time right on. And just, you can do this. Hold your head up high, stand on your own 2 feet, and move forward in life and be all that you can be and stay true to yourself. And that's the whole message of Moving Day that I got out of it. When I first heard it, and hopefully it will touch, that message will touch others the same. But I wanted to have that song where I can really use my range vocally, but also, again, really dig down deep and pull that emotion out and deliver.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to do that when you sell a song like that. And just, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that Moving Day would be the single? How do you decide that kind of thing?
Okay, so Jay Gary, he's so funny. Him and John, okay, once the album is done and recorded, everything is done on it, they listen to each track. And he told me, Jen, normally, when the album is done and we start listening to the song, there's maybe one or two songs that really stick out that shout, I could be the single, but he said in your case, every song that we've listened to could very well be the single. So it took a long time for them to pick the single. In fact, I was the one who told Jigger, I think Moving Day should be the first thing.
Ah, good for you. Good for you.
So, there's just something about that song that just, I never get tired of listening to it. And I listen to these songs morning, afternoon, and night, not just to hear them, but, to really hone in on my craft. So when it comes time to perform live, I'm on top of it. And every time I listen to these songs, I hear something new.
Gotcha.
There's other songs on there that are going to be... So the next single to be released, I believe, is going to be X.
Okay.
There's no date for that as well yet. And I think they're going to release another single after that before the full album gets released.
Okay.
I don't know. We keep going back and forth on it, but I trust Jay Gary. He is the expert. He's been in the business for... a long time, and he says, we got to do things a certain way and do it in steps. We can't do everything all at once, and it makes sense, but like I said, that patience card is really hard for me to just follow because I'm just so excited. I just want to get it out there.
Well, it's unbelievable. I mean, you sent a couple emails out to some potential producers or people you could work with, and these are the people that respond to you. Then this whole thing happens, and you not only get to record them, but you go to Nashville with these great musicians to do this, and now you've got this record that's on the cusp of coming out. I mean, I don't know how anything could be more exciting for you. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. And, I wanted to touch base on this, too. Some of the big superstars that Jay Gary knows, one of them being John Rich, I actually got, from Big and Rich, I actually got a chance to meet him, and turns out he knows Jay Gary. And, Jay Gary says, he loves Moving Day, and to hear that John Rich loves Moving Day was another validation for me, but how cool is that?
It's so cool.
Listening to all these country singers,
right,
and they hear the song and they love it. That's awesome.
Well, you're on your way. You're on your way. Couldn't be happier for you.
Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
You're welcome. So let's play Moving Day, and I want to thank you so much for doing this. So enjoyed talking to you, and please, right when you find out when these can be played and we can help to promote this for you, please get on the phone right away and let me know. You promise?
I promise.
Okay, so thank you, Jennifer, for joining us today. We're going to end with this song we've been talking about, Moving Day, and from the brand new record from Jennifer Bell. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon. So excited for you.
Thanks, Mike, and thank you, everybody, for listening in.
Okay, see you later. It's WMFO.
A 100 miles of blacktop, pedal down, won't stop, dragging around this U-Haul. If you try to reach me, phone's in the backseat, I ain't picking up when you call. You're all sorry, baby, but sorry don't cut it. Our love is a long past fixing. I'm leaving, breathing freedom.
WMFO, Medford, 9:47 in the morning. Mike on the mic here. Just finished up speaking to the lovely and talented Jennifer Bell. We heard a couple of things, influences, Patsy Cline, Walking After Midnight, and Shania Twain, Don't Be Stupid. And then three tracks from her record, Let Him Be a Lesson, followed by X, and we just finished up with Moving Day. So nice to talk to these artists and find out more and more about them. It gives a whole new meaning when I get to play the song. So thank you again, Jennifer. I can't wait to hear when we can actually play those, and nobody's going to get mad at me for doing so. And thanks again. All right, so 10:47 in the morning, just a couple more songs before Something About the Women, and I think it's Jane coming in today. Woohoo! That's what she always said, so I figured I'd do a Jane for you. Anyway, so that'll happen at 11. Until then, I'll be right back with the next new noise right after these.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tufts Freeform Radio. WMFO, Bedford.
Have mercy on my ears, will you?
All right, 10:49 in the morning. New noise for the next short set, Until Something About the Women with Jane. And it is Jane today. She's here. She's downstairs coming up. So brand new noise from our own Pixies advanced single. This one's called Catfish Kate. Brand new noise here at WMFO in Medford.
Where is my Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Yet now I am. I'm Mike on the mic here. Just a couple minutes before 11 a.m. Something About the Women with Jane is coming up in just a second. Ended that short set. Started off with New Noise from Pixies, Catfish Kate. Then next was Strand of Oaks from a new record they put out called Eraserland. That was Hyperspace Blues. And of course, Donald Fagen from 1982's The Nightfly, Walk Between the Raindrops. It's typed wrong here. I didn't do it, did I? No, I picked it. I swear to God I didn't do it. Tell him, Jane, I didn't do it.
Ready?
Miami. I mean, the thing that I love about us is that we're such music nerds, and I put that song on, and we're just like dancing around the studio.
Oh yeah, toes tapping, moving. I'm still moving, actually.
Yeah, it's just so much fun being in a place where people just love music so much.
I am inspired by you every week, Mike, and I loved the interview that you did with Jennifer Bell.
Yeah,
it was great.
She's a real cool cat.
Yeah, and you feature such wonderful performers and artists, and it's great. It's inspiring music, Mike on the Mic.
Well, thank you very much. And soon we're going to have her record to play. And Lisa Bastoni's record just came out,
That's great.
Yeah, and she told me that it can be played, and I'm going to have it put into Rivendell so
awesome.
We can do it.
Awesome.
So that's coming soon.
Wonderful.
So, Jane, I know that you're here. Sue was going to be here, but I'm happy you could sit in.
Yeah, Sue was going to be here. And, Sue is taking her dog to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that everything is going to go well for Ruby today.
Sure hope so.
Yeah.
Yep. So today, the six-pack at noon, what's going on?
Well, since I didn't know that I was going to be on until last night, I thought, I'm just going to wake up and see what comes to me. And so this is kind of in honor of Ruby. We're going to do a six-pack about dogs. So there you go.
All right. So it's just about 11 a.m. here at WMFO Medford. Everybody stay tuned for Jane and Something About the Women. My name is Mike. I'll talk to you again next week.